18 starts out Nehemiah's response to the escalated opposition. It says, "Then I stationed men in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, the exposed places, and I stationed the people and families with their swords, spears, and bows." Nehemiah continued to lead the people strategically and with wisdom. And as he surveyed the project, he did so seeing with the eyes of the enemy. He looked around and put himself in the place of his enemy, and he wanted to know, where are the places that our people are in danger as they're working? Where is it that they're most vulnerable? Where is it that the enemy could launch an attack? And so as he did that, he then shored up those places where the people were most exposed. But it wasn't just done haphazardly. He posted them with people that would have that extra incentive to be on guard. They were family. Healthy families watch out for one another. I think about this. Pat and I have two sons. Our youngest son has two sons. And our daughter-in-law, the mom of the two boys, can't quite figure out why is it that the two boys, now almost 3 and 6, beat on one another all day long. Why is it? And you know, I try to reassure her that is normal, because I've been there, done that, been the mom of two boys who just decide they need to beat on each other all day long. But I tell you what, if somebody else outside comes up against one of the two of them, the other one's going to protect them. That's just what healthy families do. They protect one another. I think about how weary these wall rebuilders must have been. They had worked hard lifting and clearing away the rubble to make room for the relaying of the stones and mortaring them together. They worked diligently to make a strong wall of protection around their city, their homes, and their family. And they had done all of this knowing that at any moment, the opposition could rise up and attack. And so that physical stress coupled with that mental stress must have left them exhausted. But Nehemiah had modeled a heart for the people, and it carried over into them having a heart for one another as they rebuilt the wall. A heart for the people. So continuing on with the passage with verse 14, Nehemiah wrote, "When I saw their fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." We see that heart for the people. Nehemiah demonstrated his love and concern to the people by speaking encouragement into their situation and their fears, having a heart for them. And he told them, don't be afraid of them. Look beyond the adversaries and see your God, who is great and awesome. So he modeled that heart for the people, but he also modeled the heart for God that he had. Time and time again, Nehemiah goes to God, recognizing his dependency on him. And I believe that's what made Nehemiah such a great leader, his dependency on God. He had his focus on God all of the time, not the huge project that we were taking, that they were taking under that, the proportions that were so large, not the opposition, but on his God. And it's been said, if we look at the challenge through the greatness of God, we will have confidence and succeed. If we look at the challenge through the greatness of God, we will have confidence and succeed. So one last point from our past, and then we're going to take the rest of the time and consider how this applies to us in our personal lives, but also in the rebuilding process of the ministry specifically. Verse 15 says, "When our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, then all of us returned to the wall, each one to his work." I love that Nehemiah doesn't take credit for the enemies backing off. It wasn't something he felt that he had done. Once again, Nehemiah demonstrates that humility, which we saw all the way back in chapter 1. He gave the glory to God, for it was God who had frustrated the enemy's plans. Our responsibility is to be aware of the enemy's plans. God's going to take care of frustrating the plot of the enemy. And we, of course, know who our enemy is, Satan. It doesn't say that God's going to eliminate our enemy. Nehemiah knew that the work could not be halted every time opposition raised up. It would be demoralizing for the workers, so therefore the Israelites, they continued to work, with Nehemiah, of course, then strategically putting guards in place to protect the workers. Verse 16, from that day on, half of my servants carried on the work, while half of them held spears, the shields, the bows, and the breastplates. And the captains were behind the whole house of Judah. Half worked physically to carry on the rebuilding of the wall. The other half bravely guarded the workers. They were prepared to fight for their families and their countrymen, to offer protection to them with their shields and their breastplates. But those that worked also carried or had at least close to hand a weapon as well. Verse 17 says, those who were rebuilding the wall and those who carried burdens took their load with one hand doing the work and the other hand holding a weapon. As for the builders, each one his sword girded to his side as he built, while the trumpeter stood near me. I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated on the wall far from one another. At whatever place you hear the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. Now there's a really powerful statement. Our God will fight for us. Nehemiah is telling the people, you're not alone. He's rallying them. Assurance that even though we might not be able to see each other at all times, one trumpet sound, and we're going to come running to join you if you've been attacked. But even greater than that, Nehemiah assures the people, our God will fight for us. Again, this is due to the fact that they understood their dependency on the Almighty God. Through their love for them, or for him, they trusted him. And these two verses reinforce that the workers under Nehemiah's leadership had a heart for the people, a heart for their God, and then my last point, they had a heart for their work. A heart for the work. Verse 21 reads, so we carried on with the work, with half of them holding spears from dawn until the stars appeared. The wording until the stars appeared mean that they put in unusually long days. Not just the sun up to sundown, but they continued to work until it had grown so dark that the stars had become visible. This would be similar to our rising at about 4 to 4:30 in the morning. Yes, there is light enough to work at that time. And then working until about 10 p.m. Now that's about an 18-hour day. Anyone who's going to work those kind of hours has a heart for the work that they're doing. Finishing the last two verses of the passage, verse 22 and 23. At that time, I said to the people, let each man with his servant spend the night within Jerusalem, so that they may be a guard for us by night and a laborer by day. So neither I, my brothers, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us removed our clothes, each took his weapon, even to the water. None of them removed their clothes, each took his weapon, even to the water. In other words, they never let their guard down. They were always prepared. Nehemiah led them to have a heart for the people, a heart for their God, and a heart for their work. Let me share this from a commentary which really summarizes God's working through Nehemiah. It says, God, when he has an important public work to do, never fails to raise up instruments for accomplishing it. And the person of Nehemiah, who, to great natural acuteness and energy, added fervent piety and heroic devotion, God provided a leader whose high qualities fitted him for the demands of the crisis. Nehemiah's diligence anticipated every difficulty, his prudent measures defeated every obstruction, and with astonishing rapidity, this Jerusalem was made again a city fortified. Because if we read further into the book of Nehemiah, one learns that the wall around Jerusalem was rebuilt in 52 days. 52 days. That seems astonishing when we think about that it had lay in ruin for nearly a century and a half. And if we recall at the beginning of Nehemiah, Nehemiah couldn't even make it into the places along the wall because the debris was so dense. And yet in 52 days, they rebuilt the wall. When they got it rebuilt, their enemies heard about it. And all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of God. 52 days. The workers served under Nehemiah's leadership as they had a heart for the people, a heart for their God, and a heart for their work. When I first shared this passage with the Go Kids ministry team, a few months ago, I saw that parallel that was there between our church walking through the task of rebuilding the ministry to what Nehemiah and the Israelites completed with the help of God. And I believe that Hill City Assembly of God Church family has a heart for people, a heart for their God, and a heart for the work. And so as we rebuild the ministry, I believe that everyone can find their place. And it's going to look different for every one of us because we're all different. And that's okay. It's that whole body coming together. But that's why we put forth that assessment called Finding Your Place. And it's not too late to fill one out there on the red counter in the commons area. But Finding Your Place is really about having a heart for the work here of the ministry at Hill City Assembly of God. Now, I will say this, if you grew up like I did, hard work really meant working really long hours, physical job, where you probably every single muscle group that you had. Jason can attest to what I'm saying because he grew up in the same way. And you were absolutely exhausted. That's what working hard meant. Can anybody relate to that? That's what you grew up that. That's what you understood hard work to do, be that physical work. Well, the reality is you might not have the physical stamina that it takes to be a part of the actual physical work in the church, but you can still serve. Let me share one critically important role in the church family that might be for you. In Nehemiah, some were physically rebuilding the wall. That's what they were doing. They were lifting those stones, they were working with the mortar, that's what they were doing. Others stood guard. They stood guard with spears, shields, the bows, the breastplates, and they protected the workers so that the workers could really focus on the rebuilding process. So Nehemiah embodies working together, with God, of course, but also with each other. As the guards watched out for the workers were free to put forth their best efforts, confident that the others were watching, guarding them. We need each other to accomplish what God has given us to do. Some are the physical workers, others are guards, but everyone's serving together. As followers of Jesus, though, of course, we know that our weapons are not of the world. And so for those of us that are going to be the ones that are called to be the guards of the ministry, we know that our weapons are divine powers to demolish strongholds and arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Our weapons are the sword of the Spirit and prayer, as we looked at last week. And so if you're thinking you might be called to be one of those guards, that you're going to put forth effort in praying for the ministry and your leaders, but you just haven't really communicated that, and the reality is you don't have to communicate it. It's encouraging, though, when you think about when Nehemiah was placing those guards in amongst the workers, what encouragement it was for the workers. And so if you wouldn't mind filling one of those assessments out, just so we know, hey, that's my ministry. That's what I feel called to do. But maybe you're in that place where you've been hesitant because you're just not really sure. What does this look like to pray in this way? Well, one of my biblically given roles as your pastor is to equip you to do the ministry. Nehemiah did and rally you to fight for your leaders and this church in prayer. I can't tell you how vital it has been and will continue to be to have people praying for the leaders of the church, whether it be myself, the board, the children's ministry director specifically, or others in the church as well, as we have other ministries that rise up. But the leadership has this summer a rather daunting task to take over, and I just want to be transparent with really the breadth of what we're looking at doing. With the invaluable help of the attorney, we are going to be amending and restating not only the articles of incorporation, but also our bylaws. We are going to be getting the membership process and the expectations of members fleshed out, and we want to do that in a timely fashion because a number of you have approached us about wanting to be members of the church, and that is awesome, and we want to be able to make sure that we have these things in place so that that can happen. We are also listening, of course, to the Lord as, what is our vision? What is the mission as we continue to move forward as a church? We have the task of updating our insurance coverage and selecting a new company, continuing to develop and expand various aspects of the ministry, which include our missions and outreach, our Go Kids ministry, and other various things that we have in sight that we want to put in place. So continuing all of that this summer with ministering to the people of the church, because life still happens. There are still needs that need to be met. Balancing the budget is part of it as well, making wise financial decisions. So it's a heavy load, but honestly, I realized this past week that something happened that I didn't think was possible. That my love for you as my church family has grown deeper. I didn't think that that was possible. But that's what God is stirring as we grow this church from where it is now, that we develop an even greater love for one another in our church family. The realization of how far this church has come in just this short amount of time is really amazing. And all credit and glory to God in how He has unified us and strengthened this family to accomplish this work. So again, if you feel called to the ministry of being that guard through praying for our church, let me start off with giving you our weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We have the Bible to use as a weapon in prayer. And you might wonder, well, how do I do that? Well, let's take a look at Isaiah 54:17 for a moment. And Pat, I think I've got a screen for that. It says, "But in the coming days, no weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken." Okay, so now we can look at that. How do we take that and make that into a prayer? It can be something as simple as, "Lord, may no weapon be formed against our church. Help the leaders in our church silence every accusation by living obediently as your servants." Or Psalm 20:7-8. So some nations boast of their chariots and horses, but we boast in the name of the Lord our God. These nations will fall down and collapse, but we will rise up and stand firm. We can pray, "Lord, may our church leaders never boast in anything but your name. Then they will rise up and stand firm as they lead our church." It's really what we do with our cornerstone scripture every week as well. We read the word and we pray. It's simple, but a powerful way to pray by using God's word, because we know when we pray God's word, we're praying in His will. If you think, "Well, I'm not sure I'm really ready to pray that way," well, let me equip you with another type of ammunition for the battle. It's actually specific ammunition. And I put it in bullet point form. I really felt that having it in bullet point form would be appropriate. And if nobody's getting that, then I know everybody's sleeping this morning. Because it's specific ammunition in bullet point form. Okay. All right. Anyway, so here's how you can pray for leadership. Pray for focus and wisdom. Pray for protection and clarity. Pray for anointing and spirit-led decisions. Pray that the long list of tasks that we need to get completed by the end of summer will be completed with excellence and allowing for room for our church to grow. Pray for our church to be a welcoming church. Pray for our church to worship in spirit and in truth. Pray for new people to be drawn by the Holy Spirit to our church and to begin a relationship with Jesus. Pray for our church to be a place of healing, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Pray for a spirit of unity in our church family. Pray for to come and be set free from bondage. Pray for more workers for our children's ministry. One finds their place. Pray for God's provision to expand the ministry. Pray for our church to find favor with the community as we come alongside and we serve. Pray for new inroads of opportunity to be a blessing to others. This is just a sample. I encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you as you pray, because as you do that, He's going to give you direction. But if you want a copy of what I've shared about specific prayer bullet points or some other resources, certainly send me an email or a text and I'll forward them on to you. My intentions of sharing sampling was to equip you, to help you to see that, yes, you can pray for the church leadership, for the ministry, for the workers, to give you some ammunition as you pick up your weapons in prayer. Well, every one of us needs to be like the workers were in the book of Nehemiah and have our spiritual weapons at hand at all times, praying all kinds of prayers, as Scripture tells us. A wonderful thing is, though, that some of you are called specifically to this. You're finding your place. Answer is being a guard in prayer for the workers. So before I close this morning, I recognize some of you may have come in with a heavy burden, and it might be for yourself, it might be for someone else, I don't know. But I just want to encourage you, we always have prayer available after service. And we want to make sure that we cover those things in prayer that you walked in with this morning. We also, again, have the prayer cards available and encourage you to take one and fill that out too. But Nehemiah has really been an inspiration to me, and I really do believe at just the right time for myself and for the church. And I've read Nehemiah before. But it came alive in a fresh way for me over the past few months. And I think that's just a demonstration of there being power in the living Word of God. It touches our hearts at wherever we're at in life. And it speaks to us differently in our different situations. I can't remember when I came across this quote, but I want to share it with you. Hear it ringing so true in our church, and I feel like it's almost like a battle cry for us as we move forward. It says, when our work for God is genuinely undertaken in faith and humility, in order to bring glory to God and to advance His kingdom, using weapons of the Spirit, we can be assured that no matter how great the difficulties, God will fight. Continue to cooperate with the Lord and follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit. I believe that the rebuilding of the ministry will come about and that God will take and grow this church way beyond anything that we can even fathom right now. As we work together, watching out for one another, we'll then be free to put forth our best efforts, confident that others are ready to offer help when needed. We need each other to accomplish God's work. That's why he puts us together in bodies, in churches. Paul exhorts us, "Therefore, my brethren, stand firm, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." So whether you take up the role of that stone and mortar layer, doing the physical work of the ministry, or whether you take the role of guard in prayer, praying a protective covering over the workers in the ministry, we all need to keep on our full armor of God, honing the sword of the Spirit in our lives, which is done through the regular reading of the Word and praying continually. God is doing a new thing. We are asked to trust, to be obedient, to not fear, and he will do it. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. May it be said that Hill City Assembly of God Church succeeded in the rebuilding of the ministry and fulfilling the God-given mission and vision as they had a heart for their people, a heart for their God, and a heart for their work. Let's pray.